This is Rock Isn't Dead, It's Just Sleeping. With your hosts, William Whitebread and Mark Audio Slave Stewart.
Hey, welcome back, motherfuckers, to another episode of Rock Isn't Dead, It's Just Sleeping. With me, Willie Whitebread. And Mark,
audio slave.
The six-year-old slave audio. And back by popular demand, we've got downtown Joey K in the house.
Oh, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
A very humble.
I'm really going to try not to, you know, make it sound like we didn't just repeat everything because we fucked up the recording. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and get that out of the way so I can say it now. So then all of a sudden, no awkwardness.
No awkwardness. We're getting all
everybody
out there.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, everybody does it.
Yeah, man.
We're on Facebook Live. If any of you guys want to watch us, we record every episode. Usually on Friday nights, we're making an exception tonight because of scheduling conflicts. But here we are. And this week, we are talking about a very controversial topic in not just music, but in media and entrepreneurship and things of that nature.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump and that very small 14-year-old girl that's really mad at climate change.
Oh, dude.
What is her name? Greta Van Fleet?
Whatever. Greta something.
George Thurgood? What's
it's
her name?
It's more of a paranormal subject, in my opinion.
Is it?
Dude, the dude that said she was
the lights just kind of flickered when I said that. That's kind of strange.
Garage ghosts?
Yeah.
Garage ghosts.
So what we are talking about is the illustrious, the famous, the 27 Club.
Mm-hmm.
The club that claims, I don't know about hundreds, but definitely many 27-year-old budding musicians and budding famous folk claims their lives.
Right.
And has since the early 1900s.
It doesn't stick to the musicians, but, you
know. No, it doesn't, but for our sake.
For our sake, yeah.
We'll stick with musicians.
I think
musicians.
They said, Wikipedia said there's something like 64 members of the 27 Club.
Really?
But we're all going to stick with like 8. Something like that.
I think the whole thing that made it like famous was that it was geniuses. It was people that like
savants.
The first few were just like, right. Oh well, that if you're not like I said, Hunter S. Thompson, when he was like, once I hit 28, I stopped believing in the curse because he's like, well, I fucking know I'm a genius and I didn't die. So I mean, he was just like, so.
Right.
But I mean, the first few were undeniable geniuses. For
absolutely.
Real.
I don't think it really got the fame it has today until Kurt Cobain.
Well, that's.
I think it's definitely.
I mean, it was a famous club. Don't get me wrong. There was tons of members, but
he's the first person everybody says when you say.
Right.
He's always. Everybody's the first one to say is Kurt Cobain.
But then you got to remember, back in the old days, there was the J guys. It was you know, Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones. He had Mick Jagger. Oh no, he wasn't in it.
No. That motherfucker's gonna outlive us all. No, Keith Richards gonna outlive us all.
So we had Jim Morrison.
Jagger's a puppet, and we all know it. He's been dead for like 28 years, and they've been like.
Keith Richards, the Rolling Stones in and of themselves are a genetic oddity amongst human beings.
Oh, yeah. Kiss,
oh,
definitely.
Yeah. If Keith Richards is still alive, we're all going to fucking live to 1,000.
Dude, like, I know Jim Florentine, the comedian, has a story about, like, walking backstage at some club, and he's Keith Richards back there with two different piles of powder in front of him, right?
Yeah.
One's brown, one white.
And
he's cutting it with a fucking pirate sword. He's chopping lines, and he goes over, he goes, dude, is that a pirate sword? And he goes, it's quality shit. You need a quality blade.
Oh, yeah,
that's good. And then he ended up being a fucking pirate in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Jack Sparrow's dad or whatever.
Yeah, I just pictured him saying that, like, after saying, you need a quality blade. I just pictured, like, Snoop Dogg playing in the background as soon as that happened. Dun, 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 dun.
The Thug Life thing.
Like, yeah.
That was an insert meme on Keith Richards. Dude,
yeah.
Fuck yes, man.
So anyway, we're going to start back in 1911 with probably the most mysterious and probably the most influential of all of the 27 Club musicians, Robert Johnson.
Right.
A lot of mystery behind that guy, partially because...
Hold on. I just remember something.
What's that?
We don't have the mic set up for the Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just, all they can do is hear
it's
from
sound
us
like,
over there.
That's okay. Anyway, so we've got Robert Johnson. Mr. Robert Johnson was born in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, on or about the 8th of May, 1911.
Okay.
That's some pretty interesting shit, man. That goes way back. That's like before the bud of the blues.
Old
that's
guy on the
way
list
back.
Is before the Great yep. Depression.
So. Yeah, pretty much. And he also at the time of the Great Depression wasn't very well off to begin with to lose anything. He had nothing.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
back then it was like, dude, you could have 8 cents and you're rich, dude. You're like,
yeah.
Well, he never really had anything. Later in life, either.
Nothing.
That's what sucks about
him. He was
him,
just
dude.
A poor guy his whole life.
He was the vagabond.
All he wanted to do was be a really good blues guitar player, and yeah. he sucked bad.
Right.
Yeah, in the beginning. In the very beginning.
Until everybody swacked his shit after a lifetime of living and dying of everybody telling me it was terrible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's literally, to be a legend, that's what you have to do your
right.
whole life. Is basically do something you're really good at, have everybody hate you, die miserable, and then 10 years later.
Yeah.
Like, once we get to somebody else in the list, Amy Winehouse, dude, that's yeah. to me, she's the most egregious, like, person on the list to where I'm like, where were all these fans before? They made a movie. She
right.
was unbelievably talented. But
right.
then... Yeah. You know, you all of a sudden, she has a movie that comes out. People are, I mean, Michael Jackson, he's not on the list, obviously. He wasn't 27. I mean,
no.
you know.
Mentally, he was
probably 12.
Yeah, mentally,
eight,
he was
yeah.
8.
But I mean, it's like, that was the most egregious thing of like, where all of a sudden somebody died and everybody's like, I'm a diehard Jackson fan. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Winehouse, that was before him, right? Didn't Winehouse
die? I still think she sucks. Sorry, Mike.
Really? I think she's great.
I think her voice was talented, but I mean, she
I
fell
think
into
she's
never
pit.
Got into her and never will.
She fell into every pitfall of fame, just like Sam Kinison.
Absolutely.
Did. I mean, everything that you could have did wrong, she did.
Absolutely.
So. They said, I gotta go to rehab. I said, no.
Dude.
No.
Back to Robert Johnson.
Right.
We'll get to Amy in a minute.
Fuck Amy.
Okay. Yeah. No, Amy
so
was fantastic.
Robert Johnson. Went to the crossroads now, did he?
I'm talking before then. This man learned how to play a stringed instrument because obviously he had zero money.
Yeah.
There was no money to go buy a guitar. His family was slaves. He had no interest in working in fields or anything of that nature. So what this man did is he went and nailed 8 nails to the side of his house, 4, and then 4 below it, and tied chicken wire to it, and put a glass bottle, at the bottom of it to give it a bridge to tune it,
yep.
to be able
wow.
to tune it.
Jack White did the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he did it, probably, though. Because
yeah.
Only because he was bored, probably.
Yeah. Or Jack White probably invented it.
yeah.
He's a time traveler.
Yeah, he's a time traveler.
yeah.
yeah, just like Matt Groening.
He's an old soul.
Yeah. yeah. Anywho. So, we'll get to that. So, Robert Johnson, he when he was very young, he, like Mark was saying here, he used to hang out at the old juke joints because that's where the blues was happening. There wasn't any concert halls, especially in African American America
yeah.
and amongst that community.
It was all segregation going.
All segregation. There was no, concert halls that these guys, even though they were absolutely more than talented enough to play in them.
Everybody was stealing their style.
Everybody
music,
was stealing
everything.
Their music.
But isn't it weird that like the South is where it all came from and there's none of them that seem to be above the Mason-Dixon line, but
right.
yet they're the most like oppressed below the Mason, but that's where all the good shit comes from.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's definitely something there, dude. Like, suffering breeds art, man. That's definite.
Well, it's kind of crazy right. because after his death, he was supposed to, the next week, he was supposed to be up north doing a huge recording thing.
Right. The people were looking for him.
Right.
They were seeking him out.
That's where
right.
they found out.
And so before the story of the crossroads, he went to one particular juke joint because he had picked up a guitar from some secondhand shop or something from somebody.
You were finally retired the bottle nail chicken wire.
Yeah, the bottleneck chicken wire side of the house setup.
That's so crazy to me.
It's insanity. Somebody with that much focus and passion, like, I don't want to do anything that much.
How do you figure that out?
Right.
It's one thing to figure out how to fix a car or like how do I plug a toaster in? But it's just like, dude, you're going to make a guitar?
Out of your house.
Like, dude.
And some nails.
Out of your house. yeah.
You know?
I can make one with a tissue box and a paper towel roll, you know what I mean, with some rubber bands or whatever. But
yeah.
like, dude, like, you made a house a guitar?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not going to be that good at anything.
Anything. Or have that much passion yeah. or want.
Or
so
patience.
Anyway, he goes down and play into the juke joint, local juke joint in his town in Hazelhurst, and he's listening to one of the more famous blues musicians at the time, Son House.
Right.
Son House was a very prominent blues musician in the South, particularly, mm-hmm. obviously. And so Robert went up to Son House and was like, hey, mind if I play a couple licks? And he's like, sure, kid. And he literally got told to leave by the crowd.
Yeah.
The crowd went up there to Son House and was like, dude, you got to get this kid the fuck out of here. He sucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's awful. And that was the last time that town had seen Robert Johnson. Now, what happened at the crossroads?
That's where he made the pact with the devil.
Right.
And the next day, overnight, he became one of the greatest blues players of all time.
Right. So the story was that he went down to the crossroads at midnight. The crossroads, if you guys don't know what that are, the crossroads are.
A town in World of Warcraft.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's so, so it's essentially where two dirt roads crossed. And, you know, obviously that was a lot of foot traffic and stuff right. like that. So he went there with his guitar at midnight. And it was said.
I think you're supposed to bury something in the ground, too. And
yeah.
And then the demonic entity will yeah. appear and give you your wish.
Bury like a hairbrush or like a person?
Yeah.
No,
a
yeah,
penny?
Or just anything.
You have to
a
bury,
rock?
You have to bury something of value to yourself.
Your mother.
And then say some kind of demonic, you know.
Incantation,
oh. Incantation of sorts.
Well, I know that there's lots of people who say Like a Rolling Stone, the Bob Dylan was written about him and about
oh, a lot like, of musicians.
But that whole crossroads story was like, because he talks about how you know yeah. he didn't listen to people, then he yeah. you know make a deal, all that. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah, and that's what they said. They said a giant figure appeared behind him and took his guitar and tuned it for him. And the giant figure was like, don't turn around.
Get rid of that bottle in that house. I'm going to tune it for you.
Yeah. I've seen you playing your house guitar. Stop yeah. that. Stop yeah. that business. Right. No, so he tuned the guitar. He handed it back to Robert. He said, if you strum this guitar, the deal is done. He didn't say what the deal was. He just said the deal was done. Robert strummed the guitar. And off he went. And he just heard a little bit of laughing on the wind. And that was it. Yeah, something crazy like that. And ever since then, like Mark said, he was an overnight success. This man could play the guitar so well that it was the first time that guitar weaving had been heard. It sounded like he was playing two guitars mm-hmm. at the same time, but he was only playing one.
Right? He was his own rhythm guitar.
He was his own right, rhythm right. section. And so he went back to the same town to Sunhouse and was like, hey, let me hit another lick. And Sunhouse was like, ah, no, boy. You already had enough the first time. He said, just give me a try. He jumped up there and started playing that six string, and everybody lost their shit.
Yeah.
Lost their minds.
Every night after that.
He was traveling around like, America.
He was playing packed houses.
Yeah.
So he had a really big lust for women and booze.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And he had a very... Have you ever heard his voice? I'm sure you have. You've heard his yeah. voice. He's that motherfucker sounds like I need to look behind me.
Right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? He sounds just eerie and mysterious.
That was maybe part yeah. of the deal. The devil's like, now you got to talk like me, and I'm going to talk like you for the rest of your life. Like,
yeah.
You're going to get the devil voice, and I'm going to get yeah. this, you know, young
now,
man's voice.
Now, let's go back and do a realistic view. Do you really think the devil and him did a deal?
I wanted to know that, too. No. What do you think happened?
I think
he practiced like, motherfucker. Yeah. It was just practice.
Well,
he was the first one, like you said, to have a shtick.
Right.
He came up yeah. with a shtick.
Yeah. And the passion.
Did you hear the legend?
I think he mentally matured. And said, and put two and two together and said, okay, well, if I do this phrase and this phrase and this is how this sounds like this, and he just got really,
think about
really
how
good.
Hard it is to get a
quick.
Legend and a rumor going before. There's no like dirt road Facebook. I mean, right. he would probably just have to walk up to people in saloons behind you, like, hey, did you guys hear about the devil? And then like, yeah. like what?
Yeah.
Well,
like, you know what I mean?
Like, well, back then too, man. Like all that stuff, there was still a lot of folklore sure. around back then because there's shit they couldn't explain.
And everybody was still religious. You know, like, religion was a huge. It was still. Yeah. Like 99% of everybody was religious.
Right. Look at doctors back then. They're like, oh man, your blood's on fire. You should do some cocaine about it.
Let me lay hands on you. You're good.
Go ahead. You got ghosts in your blood. You should do cocaine about it.
Garage ghosts.
Only put these leeches on your balls.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. And so Robert, like we talked about a little bit before, he was the vagabond. Like that's all he wanted to do. He used to travel around with another famous blues musician called Johnny Shines. He was another big Southern blues musician, and he would leave Johnny in weird places. Like they'd be in, you know, Newark, New Jersey or some shit. And Johnny'd wake up to meet Robert for breakfast the next morning. Motherfucker'd be in Minneapolis.
Sounds like my dad.
Yeah. Probably because he was wasted out of his mind every night.
Yeah. And he was hammered because like you said.
I was like, hey, Rob, want to come meet in Minneapolis? Sure.
Yeah,
why not?
Robert used to definitely get down on the whiskey bottles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, if you, like LSD, like especially with Hendrix, when we get to him, I mean, mm-hmm. you can't let somebody on LSD wander. That's like legit. Part of the rules, you're like they're not allowed to wander.
Right.
You got to keep people like that if they're going deep, eye shot. If they ever get out of eye shot, chase them down like they're a toddler.
Yeah,
they start
toddler.
Waddling away.
Leash.
Catch them.
Yes. Leash yeah. to the floor.
Yes.
Stop it.
Okay, so
what happened with Mr. Robert?
He got sick one night.
From what? What's the story?
They said that he overdrank.
He overdrank.
But
he was poisoned.
He was poisoned by his ex.
Yeah.
In the club. She Ooh. Was trying to get revenge on him.
Yeah, there's a couple different stories. There's
also,
that one.
There's also chlamydia. No, or was it syphilis?
Syphilis.
People said he died of syphilis.
Yep, and there's also a jealous husband story as well.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yep, there's a jealous husband story that he was in there hitting on somebody's old lady, and she brought him over a bottle of whiskey from him.
That
and
sounds very believable back then.
Probably what happened.
And it had some poison in it. He drank it, because obviously Robert, you know, loved his drink.
Yeah.
And somebody tried to slap it out of his hand because they saw him put poison in there. And he's like, fuck that. Don't ever touch a whiskey bottle out of my hand, boy.
I do the same thing. Even if they were trying to save me and then they'd stand up, you're like, well, fine, dick. I was going to help you out and then we're going to walk away and I'm going to lick the whiskey off the floor.
Right. Yeah. Any addict's dream, you know?
Right.
And then, like Mark said, he got sick for a couple days. Some people said it was syphilis. Some people said it was poison. Some people said he didn't die at all because they couldn't find a grave. They had a giant group of historians, a vast group of historians that put a lot of research into that. And they have a headstones where they think it was. It was under like an old willow tree outside the
They only have like six pictures of the dude. I mean,
ever.
Yeah.
That's how mysterious this guy. And that's what adds, I think, to me, the most interesting lore behind this human being.
It's because everybody he knew was so poor, they couldn't even afford cameras.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And how many cameras were readily available?
It took 10 minutes to take one picture.
Right. And a camera back then probably cost as much as a MacBook now. Right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, all the blues musicians from there on forward and all like the big greats, you know, we're talking about Brian Jones and David Gilmour and Jimi Hendrix and Joe Bonamassa and Steve Vai, all these greats, they're going to talk about, if you ask them who their influences were, at least three quarters of them are going to go, Robert Johnson, man.
Do you think he's one of those, like in film, when you're like, oh, what's the best films ever made? It's like everybody who wants to even slightly sound pretentious says
anything by Scorsese.
Citizen Kane.
Oh yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird.
So do you think he became one of those, like maybe his,
like a staple, like, that you, like, have to say it?
Yeah, it's almost like you don't even know who he is, but you just know that you're supposed to say it.
I don't know, man. And now, if some musicians, like if Kurt Cobain was to come up and say, "Yeah, man, love Robert Johnson," I'd be like, "Did you?
Did you really?
But did you really?" Were you listening to Black Flag and Sonic Youth or Robert Johnson?
That. And I totally agree with you, though. I'm surprised me you'd say that, though.
You know,
I don't totally listen to him. I'll admit it.
I mean, I don't
Muddy Waters? Nope.
Oh, I love Muddy Waters now.
I'll play the fuck out of a brown jug, dude. I'll blow on a big-ass moonshine jug like a motherfucker. So.
Yeah, and I'm a triangle player by heart, you know?
You need a tambourinist, and we're good. Right. I don't even know what that is, but I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me?
T, that's where the name came from. Holy shit, we just figured something else out.
So, yeah, there's probably a little bit of truth to that, but the basis, there's probably a little bit of shtick behind that. That's the word of the night, shtick. Because he was the first documented bad boy. Right. Robert Johnson was the bad boy. He was the vagabond, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He was the army of one, the biker of the time.
There's multiple TV shows with just the genre of sections of his life. He had a paranormal incident. He's Ghost Hunters right there. He has a Judge Judy ex-husband or other. I mean, dude, he covers it all, man.
Yeah.
Dude, if he just would have made a comedy, if the fucker would have told a joke.
Oh, I mean, done.
He'd be on everybody's wall.
Yeah.
Made an hour-long documentary about him on Netflix recently. And it's like nothing but six pictures and all the fucking crazy stories that, you know, that you're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go watch the Michael Jackson and Andre the Giant documentary. Like, I want to see how it is to be really big and really weird. So I mean, fuck Robin. You know what I mean? That's how it is, dude.
Right.
There's no media of him.
Right. And so he's the first documented musician of the 27 Club. The first prominent one, that is. And we'll move a little bit forward. We'll talk about Brian Jones a little bit. I think this guy gets a little bit overlooked at times.
Yeah.
Now,
how did he die? In a swimming pool?
What they say. There's also a lot of, a little bit back and forth and conspiracy. There's conspiracy theory behind all of these guys and gals' deaths.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a little bit of conspiracy. There's a little bit of lore, a little bit of falsehood behind all of it.
And that's what makes the allure of the 27 Club.
Right.
Yeah.
And just like with Robert Johnson, man, like, this is all before there was like the internet and social media. So to get something to stick, like rumors like that.
Big,
like,
word of mouth.
It's easy. I mean, dude, the flat earth is a dumb theory. And it's still, there's people that argue
about it. Yeah, there's a whole group of them.
I mean, because it's there's people who still go out there and look for Bigfoot.
Right, argue just to argue.
I have a buddy of mine who looks for Bigfoot.
Dude, do you know, like
for a living.
Rogan says this on his podcast all the time. You know what's more likely than seeing black people while looking for Bigfoot?
What's that?
Bigfoot or Bigfoot's blurry, like Mitch Hedberg. You know right. what I mean? And dude, it's literally more likely to see Bigfoot than black people out looking for Bigfoot because they know that's some dumb shit. Like,
right.
no way I'm going out there and sitting in a tent looking for a Sasquatch.
Right.
But yeah. it's all because of the internet and the history. These guys have legends and stuff. All these, and there's no social media. Like, it's got to be just people talking in like
word of mouth, word of mouth
stories.
So, I mean, it almost gives it a little bit more. Any conspiracy from back then almost holds a little bit more water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, like I said, moving with the next prominent member.
Old BJ.
Brian Jones. Born Lewis Brian Hopkins Jones.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 28th of February, 1942. So, if for many of you that don't know, which you probably don't, because I didn't up until a couple years ago, Brian Jones was the absolute founding member of the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm. No way. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. And
really?
I really didn't.
I didn't know much about it. Because he's not talked about very much. Because they didn't have a great relationship with Brian.
Yeah, who needs him?
Brian. They didn't have a great.
They would have formed without him. Don't.
I don't know, man. Brian brought them all together. All
right, I'll give
Brian
you
brought Mick and Keith together.
Okay.
You know, and he was an amazing musician.
Okay.
An amazing musician.
Chopping up lines with pirate swords.
Right. And then it just all downhill from there. Right. So Brian could play almost everything with strings.
Yeah.
This guy, and that's he does it like he played the sitar and
which is a very hard instrument.
Yeah.
Did he ever play a house?
No, he probably didn't play a house. You got me there, and Robert's got him there,
right,
motherfucker.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, bowl cut, have an ass, bitch. Fucking Brian Jones.
Yeah.
but anyway, so this guy, he's very interesting because he was an extreme form of rock and roll, like more so than Morrison.
Yeah.
This guy had like 5 kids that he never had anything to do with. He used to just travel around. Vagabonded a little bit, play his guitar, and just have sex with women and have kids and leave and never speak to him again.
Vagabond shtick dick. That's what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, vagabond
episode,
shtick dickhead. Right. So he brings Keith Richards. He brings Mick Jagger together.
Okay.
And they start playing around in little, you know, tiny, not juke joints, but little coffee shops and things in England, wherever people play in England, small venues. And so they start getting a little bit of notice, right? And then they get a call from a record company. And they're like, well, what's your name? And Brian Jones looks down at a Muddy Waters album and sees Rolling Stones. So that was their name, Rolling Stones, without the G.
Really?
Initially, initially. It was Rolling Stones. And that was kind of the birth of the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
I legitimately, I had no idea that the dude brought everyone together at the beginning. Because, I mean, he's probably the person that I know the least about that we're going to talk about.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, but.
You get to his death already, will you?
Well, I want to give the guy his due.
We have a lot of members at this club.
I know. Just give me 5 minutes. He was a superior musician. I will say that. If you listen to his stuff, listen to the Rolling Stones with Brian Jones when they could get him to show up.
I'm good.
Oh man, he was great. I'm not a big Stones fan, but Brian Jones, I always appreciate a superior musician.
Is that what you appreciate about superior musicians?
That's how I appreciate.
What were some of like their hits that he was involved with?
Well, Paint It Black most predominantly.
That's my favorite. I should know that. That's my favorite Rolling Stones song.
He wrote Satisfaction too.
Really?
No,
he didn't write that.
That's definitely a departure.
I don't know
from the
much about
one.
Him either, actually. Oh, okay. I just know how he died.
He's just like, I'm gonna cover my flaw with being like, dude, what? You don't know this shit?
Yeah. I'm not like a big Rolling Stones guy. So.
Well, either am I, but he was
a. Doesn't sound like it over here.
Well, you got to know about the founding fathers, right? If you're going to love America, you better fucking know about Thomas Jefferson.
You got 3 minutes left.
You know what I'm saying? Well, quit interrupting me then, you fuck. So they started touring their first tours as a band, as the Rolling Stones were in 1963, and Brian was still very much secluded. He would barely show up to practice because he was too fucked up. The dude was strung out on everything. He traveled in separate buses, stayed in separate flats, stayed in separate hotel rooms. They couldn't really get him to do anything.
Yeah.
And so I'll fast forward a little bit. In 67, he was dating a German actress named Anita Pallenberg. Jones got sick while on tour in Morocco and had to fly home. And then his girlfriend at the time and Keith Richards shacked up. And that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
So Brian Jones ended up in 1969. He had two arrests for drugs. Mm-hmm. He like lost a car and then he crashed a motorcycle into a business. Like,
I don't just know what lost I did. It. Dude, where's my car?
Dude, where's my car? Yeah. And then so he crashed a motorcycle into a, I think it was into a, it was into like a little general store window or something. Wow. And he got arrested for that. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, this is when the Rolling Stones started gaining popularity. This was in 69. Shit started picking up and they wanted to do a tour in America. Right.
You can't do it with somebody like that.
Well, he's got these two drug charges now. So he couldn't get a work visa to go over to America. So the Stones went without him.
That's not my bag, baby.
That's not my bag. And so that was the beginning of the end. They came back from the tour and they essentially fired him.
Wow.
They said, you know, Mick and Keith went over to the house and they said, essentially, dude, you're not in the band anymore.
Bye.
I'm sorry.
I know that you started the band, but you're not in the band
anymore. Yeah, I know you named the band.
My lips or the logo and yours on. So get the fuck out.
You know, I know you started the band. You came up with the name. Right. You pretty much wrote all of the original first album. And you're the best musician here. But instead of trying to get you help and work with you, we're just going to fire you.
To be fair, that was before.
To be fair.
To be fair. That was before the rehabs were so popular. You know what I'm saying? That was back in the old
back when quitting was a shitty thing to do.
Dude, lots of bands, they stick around with if they have bandmates with problems, they'll just suck for 5 years until like whoever has the problem decides to get help.
Well, I think the reason
look at Velvet Revolver.
Let's say the reason they kicked him out though is because he couldn't leave.
Well, he was inconsistent. Also,
yeah, that too.
He wouldn't show up to practices. He wouldn't do anything.
Not long after this.
Yes.
That's when they found him belly up in the pool.
Yes. Wow. Around midnight on the 3rd of July, 1969.
Up in the pool. They're like, dude, I know that's a small detail, but that almost never happens. Everybody's always face down in the pool if they're dead.
Yeah. You know.
Right. All right. And there's some conspiracy theory behind that, too, because he was supposed to work with this guy, this contractor. And the contractor was there that night, and he told the guy that he didn't want to work with him or fired him or something. Brian did.
Yeah.
And then he turned up dead that night.
Right.
But he did have swollen organs, which I don't know if that happens when you drown. I don't know if your organs swell. But they said he had swollen organs, which is indicative of, you know, drug overdose and heavy booze consumption, because he was known for that. He was a heavy drug user and heavy boozer.
People were saying Mick and, you know, the rest of the gang murdered his ass.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the. I thought you were thinking of the dude who wanted to do his roof or
there's a bunch. That
there's,
guy.
There's a bunch of. Yeah.
There's a bunch. There's multiple. That's the story of Brian Jones. And the only reason, like I said, people forget about him, and he's not super prominent because when you think Rolling Stones, you don't think Brian Jones.
Think Mick Jagger.
You think Mick Jagger,
like
Keith Richards.
Paint it black, man. Like, I don't know. That's like my favorite Stones song.
Right. There wouldn't be a Rolling Stones without Brian Jones.
Correct.
It's weird that he swept under the rug that much.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's wild shit, man. Mm. Anyway, so who's next on the list? Who do we got, guys?
Would it be Janis then, right? Or Janis or Jimmy?
Well, which one?
Let's go for Janis.
Janis? Let's talk about Janis.
I like it.
Let's talk about Janis. Now, Janis, because you know me.
You're not going to go into the whole history of Janis, though.
Not the whole history. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Janis Joplin, you know my affinity
for
female musicians.
Born in 1947.
43.
Oh, I was close.
Actually, 1943. In Port Arthur, Texas. anyway, Janis Joplin, she is, to me, the epitome and probably the only clear example of the true rock and roll artist in the female genome.
Oh yeah,
throughout history, I'd
agree. Yes. Her and Courtney Love.
Courtney Love was a fucking
different reasons, but you're right.
Yeah, Courtney Love was a shithole, trashy version.
Rock and roll.
I'm
the difference.
Totally kidding.
I know. I know what you mean.
That.
You cannot compare. That's like comparing diamonds to fucking glass. Right. You know what I mean?
Reese's the lobster.
Right. Two different things. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So and see, that's been. I'm not going to go in the whole history of Janis Joplin. You see what I did there? Whole. Mm-hmm. But Janis, like I said, that's my spiel on Janis. She, because back in those days, some now, but it was more so back then, the rock star field was almost 100% a male dominated field.
Still almost.
Yeah. But
until Grace Slick
Grace Slick and Jefferson Airplane hit and
Wilson.
Guitar
right. Now there's another
house guitar.
Another rumor about Janis was that she had made a deal with the devil.
Yes, there is a rumor
in the
about
mud
that.
At Woodstock. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I just made that part up.
In the mud.
I want to see if everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For sure. I've never heard that one, but yep. It's all fucking
the mud
anything
devil.
At this point.
The mud
point.
Devil. The I mud know devil. All about it, man.
Right.
So do you want to go into that, or do you want to keep going on her background?
A little bit of background. So she had an incredible, innocence issue. She had poor self-esteem, absolutely awful. She didn't take constructive criticism very well. There was two sorts of criticism that Janice would take. It was the I'm hopped up on drugs and alcohol, constructive criticism, yeah. Which was fuck yourself, which would right. be your response, and she would pay for it later and hurt later. And then there was the sober girl, because she was very much a kind of introverted recluse type girl, and you wouldn't get that
to get out of that.
You wouldn't see that with her singing.
You wouldn't see that with her singing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And her get up, her flamboyant, her peacocking attire, the things that she would do, and her absolute banshee wail of a fucking voice.
But isn't it weird that there's people who you can tell are channeling the person they want to ultimately be?
Yeah.
But it legitimately takes substances to get there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, me personally, I would never ever, if it's just to help me talk, I mean, I would never.
Never. Yeah.
I would never indulge.
Not at all. But I mean, I can understand that. Like, I mean, yeah. she needed that, like, that inhibitor to be able to go out there and do all that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, you said she had like an innocence thing.
Well, she did, because she came. She was one of the few ones of the 27 Club that actually came from a very good and structured home.
Really,
she came from a great home. It was the typical 1940s, 1950s home. Mom was Susie Homemaker, and Daddy went home, and when Daddy got home, Mama had his slippers and his paper and said, oh, here's a tall beer and some spaghetti.
Hey, Beef, go out, get me the paper.
Yeah, exactly. Not Eddie Haskell again.
Yeah, almost all the hippies in the whole movement.
Mr.
Though.
Wilson.
Right.
As a throwback. A slingshot. But, almost every, the first generation of hippies all came from the exact generation you were just talking about.
Right.
Like the picket fence, Fallout family,
and they didn't want that.
Yeah,
they didn't want that shit. They were coming out of two world wars, and they're like,
we're
the
back
economy
to back
was great,
champs. And
the Great Depression just happened not too long ago,
right.
And so the economy's booming, and so things were good, but they always wanted something more. They weren't, they wanted peace, love, and rock and roll.
And
so anyway,
Nam was the push. That was the thing.
Yeah, that's late, a little bit later, but yeah.
That's everything.
That was a big push.
Sure.
That was a big push. And I have a theory about John Lennon in that. I'll say in a minute. But so Janice, she made her way over to San Francisco multiple times, and she also was dating another member of the 27 Club, Ron Pigpen McKernan of the Grateful Dead. She was dating Pigpen for a number of years. Not for a number of years. Off and on for a number of time. And by dating, they probably meant they fucked every now and again and ate acid together.
Sure.
But see, that's the thing that I love about Janice, is the persona that everybody else saw of her was that rock star. Because she could out-drink, out-drug, out-fuck anybody.
And also outperform.
She's the only
when you said you think she was the epitome of female,
the epitome of female rock star.
The thing that makes her so unbelievably unique to me is that she's the only one that you legitimately don't put the gender. You don't even look at her like a woman, almost.
Almost.
I mean, it's like when you think about it, you know what I mean? Like, it's like she's almost like a Hendrix. You're just like, she just was a part of one of the most amazing times in music, and you never even, because I mean, can you think of an actress right now or anybody that you don't put that, okay, it's a woman, even comedian, like women comedians that are really good. It's like, even if they're really funny, you're still like, she's really funny. She's a woman that's really funny.
Yeah.
Her, you're never like, hey, she's like an artist. She's an artist that's a woman that's really good. Right. Nobody says that. She was a good artist, period.
Yeah, period. And she brought about an entire genre.
Right.
And she set a bar.
Death Please.
Yeah. Because at that time, who else was there? There was two. There was, other than the big blues chicks, like Aretha Franklin and stuff like that. There was Janis Joplin. And there was Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane.
That was it.
They had it down. And Janice, I would say Janice, definitely took it to the next level, even above Grace Slick.
Hell yeah. But yet, Grace's music's probably more well known, in my opinion. Like, more people know a lot more about Jeff, like songs by Jefferson Airplane than Janis Joplin. But Janis Joplin's
I would say
more
that
prolific.
I would say more people know about Janis Joplin than say Grace Slick, absolutely. But more people know Jefferson Airplane's music than Joplin's.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everybody knows who Janis Joplin is, but aside from Peace of My Heart and Bobby McGee, nobody really knows anything much about her.
Death, please.
Death. So anyway, October 1970, she was found dead in her, I think it was her hotel room,
right,
while she was recording the Pearl album.
And her manager was supposed to meet her, mm-hmm. and apparently he didn't know why she didn't show up, but he said, well,
Peter Rothschild.
She's out maybe shopping for pants or just like, you know.
That was for real.
That's what she does.
You know, fucking way. That's
for
real.
When she would never show up for a meeting, she would be out shopping somewhere.
She'd be out shopping, buying pants or something weird.
Dress, whatever she shops for.
She went to go get Levi's, bitch. Like, I mean, what are you talking? Like, really?
I don't know. Crazy. Janice is late. But she's going to have to put her genius on hold.
They found her with $4.50 clenched her hand.
Wow.
In a negligee on the side of her bed.
Mm-hmm.
They turned her over. Her lips had blood on them. Her nose was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, there was no drugs in the room.
No drugs in the room.
But they found fresh track marks on her arms.
Yep.
But were there any pants in sight? Did she ever get the pants?
Yeah, she got the pants. Not. Okay. She got the pants, but they weren't in sight.
Well, anyway, so she was murdered.
You think so?
No drugs in the room?
You think so?
Unless the manager said, oh shit, let me hide all these, throw these drugs away before the cops get here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get published. But she had track marks on her arms. Mm. Nose was broken.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe she owed somebody money.
Why did she have that $4.50 in her hand?
She was face down, though? I mean, it's.
Now, she was stuck kind of between
another theory
in her bed.
Is that she had made a deal with the devil,
mm-hmm.
and her time was up. And that was her time. And then the demon came and got her.
But don't you think that, like, okay, like, this is just a hypothetical, playing devil's advocate to what you just said.
This is just theories that, yeah.
Right.
I'm not making it up.
But the broken nose, she could have fallen. And don't you think, like, any musician, especially from that era, it almost uses it as propaganda. They almost, if they would have just had, like, an embolism.
Right.
Those are the people, they're not even going to give them an autopsy. Like, it's drugs.
Yeah.
Ship her out, put her in a bag, let's bury her.
Well, that's exactly what happened to Jim Morrison.
It's like, and they never even found out. Like, it's just like, what, actually, like, we don't, it's probably drugs. Just because he had the stigma as a musician. Like,
right,
I mean,
right.
But that's funny you should mention that. And we'll lead into the next one here.
No, the next one should be Jimmy, right?
You think Jimmy?
Yeah, he's before Jim.
Well, they were all around the same time.
We're going to make this about a Jimmy thing? I'm sorry, that was so bad. I hated that one as soon as it came out of my mouth. A Jimmy thing. I hated it. I hated it so much. I want it back.
So, well, okay, we'll go to Jim after Jimmy. We'll talk about Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix.
Death, who? Please. Death, please.
Death, immediate death? Right immediate to the death? You're like
there's
a shitty judge.
Don't know who any of these people are. I mean, you know what I mean? That's the thing. And I mean, I'm not saying I'd ever want to hang out with those people, but I mean, like, dude.
Right.
But I mean, unless you're coming up to me like, hey, who's Jimi Hendrix? We'll sit down, son.
Right.
Since we are crunching on time, we should probably go for a light intro on his life.
Sure.
Sure.
A light bio.
Johnny Allen Hendrix, born November 27th, 1942 in Seattle, Washington. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
To Father Al Hendrix and Lucille, Mother Lucille Hendrix.
Right.
Right. Okay, so.
Father of the military.
Right.
Traveled around all over the place when he was a kid. All he wanted was a Stratocaster.
That's all he wanted was a guitar.
The Stratocaster in the window at the music shop down the street.
Stratocasters didn't come out until he was about 14 years old.
With the Perlinoid pick guide on it.
Right.
He chose Pepsi and Coke. He stood.
Pepsi challenge.
Wasn't that a thing? Maybe it was a commercial. I don't remember. But
I think there was a commercial.
Yeah,
about that.
There was two. There was a tambourine in one window and like a Pepsi machine, and then there was like a guitar in one window. And
that is right. Yeah,
well, I'm from the 90s. I just assume everything's
true.
That's right. I'm just like,
that's right. That's right. That's where I was thinking.
Oh, right. That's okay. Commercial. Hell yeah. That's what led me to that. I'm like, Rugrats. So, see, babies can talk.
He was very smart.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't pick the fucking tambourine. That makes him smart right there.
Exactly.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to this day says he's the greatest guitar player of all time.
And I would agree with
Nobody
that.
Nobody can deny that. Dude, I would agree with that. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right.
All Along the Watchtower, you made a song by the best songwriter ever that everybody knows you for it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're the one that people think
Dude,
wrote that song?
Full disclosure, before about 2 weeks ago, before I started doing research for this episode, I didn't know Bob Dylan wrote that song.
Yeah, I don't even know who Jimi Hendrix was.
No. I didn't know Bob Dylan wrote that song.
See, and you want to tie like to the very beginning? What's his name? Robert Johnson. He in the. Have you ever seen I'm Not There? The Bob Dylan movie where Kate Blanchett, Heath Ledger, they all play different time periods of Bob Dylan.
Really?
And one of the versions is the youngest one, and he's played by a little black kid, and he is legitimately supposed to be like a hybrid of Robert Johnson and Bob Dylan. And
really?
They tell like half and half. The movie's amazing. Go
really?
The soundtrack. Check it out. Nothing but covers from Dylan.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. That's pretty fantastic. I'm going to have to watch that.
Tons of people.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So with Jimmy, he wanted a stringed instrument really bad. Obviously, his family was very poor. It was a good upbringing. You know, it was a good father, their father. The mom was a little shitty. She was kind of like, you ever seen Blow, that movie Blow?
Yeah.
Where like Ray Liotta, the dad is like a hard-working American man, sure. And the mom's kind of a vagabond and goes out and drinks and like comes in and out of their lives.
Blames them both for it.
Right. And that's kind of how his mother Lucille was. Like his dad Al would always take her back, but she was kind of like, I'm going to go to the jazz clubs, drink, and be kind of an absentee mother, sure. Which is rare. You hardly ever see that.
Yeah.
Especially back in those times. The mom didn't leave.
Right.
The dad left. You know, that's the shtick. He used to help his dad clean houses. And this old lady that he was helping clean in their house and clean out houses, like after construction and things of that nature, gave him a ukulele with one string.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch learned how to play it with one string.
He built a house the easiest, out of a ukulele.
That's the easiest guitar you can learn how to play is one string.
Yeah.
Because then you get familiar with the fretboard and up and down and the notes.
That's a really good bassist right there.
Exactly. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. And so he finally, we'll make it a little bit quicker. He fast forward a little bit. At age 15, he got his first acoustic guitar for $5, which is probably, you know, in 58, that's probably $45 now.
At least.
So it was a cheap piece of shit. And so he started playing it. Obviously, he was in the military. He went into he was in like the 101st Airborne in the Army in 1960s, in the very like 1960, and got out like pretty much a year later. He was discharged because
during that
unsuitability
time in the military, he was begging his dad to send him that guitar.
Yeah,
and he wouldn't do it.
That's fucking awesome.
He finally did it though.
He did do it.
He finally did it, and he sent him his guitar. That. It was
not
an old
the ukulele. I just sent him. No. If I was his dad, to be a dick, I'd send them both. But I'd wait a day to send the guitar after the ukulele.
And that's that was the interesting part to him getting out. He did hurt himself. I think he hurt his back or his foot. He was a paratrooper, so jumping out of a plane during a training drill. But he used to play at all the local bass clubs on bass. And so he was essentially begging his sergeant or whoever it may have been to, hey, this is not really my thing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I
can make it big in the music industry.
Listen to how I play guitar.
Yeah.
Like, this is not my thing. And his sergeant was like, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
And so they.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
You're right. Bye-bye, Jimmy.
Well, they got him out on unsuitability.
Okay.
After,
is there anyone else that's ever played the guitar left like the way he played it? I mean,
lefty?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, he played a regular guitar upside down though, right?
Well, he played a left. Well, yeah. At the time, I don't think they had left-handed models.
He just restrung it.
Yeah.
The opposite way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they had specific. I don't think I know specifically. Fender didn't come out with a left-handed Strat.
Did I just say restrang?
Yeah, probably. You fucking illiterate.
Yeah, you guys are almost Georgia again.
I'm from Jersey. What the fuck?
He's from Jersey. No, so I don't think Fender came out with a specific left-handed model in the early 60s. I don't think. I mean, the Strat had only been out for like 5 years, so.
Yeah, it was probably not.
Right.
He
just
strung it backwards.
Right. So anyway, he gets discharged. He goes back. He moves to California. Starts playing guitar, where he is met by Keith Richards' then girlfriend. I forget her name. What is it? Like Lena Keith or Lisa Keith or something like that. Anyway, so Keith Richards' girlfriend sees him play and essentially is like, dude, you guys got to see this guy. And so he gets linked up with Chaz Chandler, the former bass player for the Animals. And that's when rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is history.
Sure. The rest is history.
Now he dies.
Huh?
Now he dies.
No, well, see, what? Jimmy's was very interesting to me, and this is kind of where.
Well, yeah, it was really interesting.
Well, no. This is kind of where my conspiracy feelers get up and start dancing hard.
He's the only one so far that I still I'm like he's the one I've looked the most into because there's so many good theories. About
you're right.
His.
Yeah.
Well, like, his manager was kind of a dick, Michael Jeffrey. Dude was a dick.
Stole money from him.
He's widely, most people think he's the reason he's dead. Like,
I guarantee
that's
it.
That's one of the most.
They said he might have been murdered by him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Him and Marvin Gaye are the two that I'm always like, well, somebody else, the one person everybody brings up is always the one who did it.
Well, Michael Jeffrey did take out a $2 million life insurance policy out on Hendrix.
Oh, he fucking did it.
With him as the beneficiary. So, because he was pissed off because Jimi Hendrix started up Electric Ladyland Records. right. and was kind of separating away from his music because Michael Jeffrey wanted him to keep touring. You got to keep touring. That's
you
where the
take
money is.
Money away, dude. They're going to kill you.
Right.
Don't fuck with money.
Now,
man.
His story is very similar to Cobain's because Cobain did the exact same thing. His managers and Courtney Love were both like, you need to keep touring. And he's like, I don't really want to. I kind of just want to do heroin and paint and play guitar and play my own shit. You know?
But the barbiturates that were found in his system, the amount of barbiturates have to be a murder or a suicide.
Yeah, so because they said
half of one of those pills was enough to put
you to
sleep for 8 hours.
He had like nine in his system. Because he had a chronic insomnia.
Not only that, but they said the amount of wine that was in his hair alone was like, what do they say, almost two bottles of wine just in his hair. Not only that, but they never saw, the coroner's never seen in a case like this again where the wine was filled up in his lungs and his stomach.
Right. And it wasn't, the amount that was on his person didn't match the blood alcohol level that he had at the time of death.
He had hardly any alcohol in his bloodstream.
There's no CSI yet, so they just poured the shit on him.
They put the pills down his throat, and they poured that shit down him, and then he just choked, died, and that was it.
There was that theory, or his girlfriend at the time, Monica Deniman, they had a feeling that she was in on it.
But she said he was murdered. The first thing she told the cops.
Which is fucking... Like,
and then she died.
The most guilty out of everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Immediately saying, oh, I know. How? I don't know. I just know.
She died shortly after that. A couple years after.
Same thing with Jim.
So they said that she gave him the sleeping pills to help him sleep. You gave him fucking nine?
Yeah.
You gave him nine? Okay. Yeah. And so what they did is they fucking put him to sleep so he couldn't fight back, and they opened his mouth and dumped wine into his lungs until he fucking died.
Oh.
Do you think that death, today's standards, they would have just said, oh, okay, you gave him nine pills and took him?
No. There'd be eight documentaries by Tuesday.
And this is the reason why I think they did that. The same reason I think I don't know if Courtney Love did it to Kurt herself. However, they did see both of these budding musicians going down a spiral, and they were separating from their record companies going, I kind of want to do my own thing, because they were creative minds. They were geniuses. They were savants.
And nobody got
And they go, well, fuck, if these guys or and gals leave the record label, right, we're going to lose money. So you know what we do? We make them into martyrs.
Right.
And make them legends.
While we still own their fucking likeness and their intellectual property. So we can make t-shirts and fucking all the posters you see at JCPenney's and
Hendrix on it. Exactly. We'll make them into legends and martyrs, and we'll make money on them for the next ever.
Fuck music. I'm making t-shirts.
Okay, but on the flip side of all that, there's the whole other theory that he was manic depressive. Manic depression.
Right.
And then he also... would be going back into the paranormal aspect of things. There's numerology
going
on, and there's also astrology going on where the moon and the shit, the Saturn wasn't aligned right, and his number one on the numerology thing.
Right.
All this shit that those people talk about supposedly during that time for Jimi Hendrix was horrible.
Like, and you know how those
through,
people
he
are.
Was going through a horrible transition, and he was spiking, and then suicide.
Well, the thing is, with savants and geniuses, if you like hamstring them and prevent them from growing, they're gonna go into a sense of chaos.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They're gonna go into a crazy sense of chaos, into a tailspin, if they're not allowed to express themselves. And that's what was happening to Jimmy. And he was on the road all year long. He played 66 cities in 60 days.
Well, and you brought up the manic depression thing. It's like, dude, like people take handfuls of pills. If you knew you had sleep problems, like, and you got these new pills from some girl, you're like, I probably can take eight.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I think there's some truth to that.
I think rock stars have egos that they're just like, dude, like, I mean, I've had my own. I'm like, dude, I was like, what? Acid's going to be like everything else. I'll take three, and I'm in the fetal position
I can see.
I'm like, oh, it's going to be like beers. I can have 11. It's like, no, motherfucker, you can't.
Right.
Like,
well, that's what happened to Joplin. She had been sober for 6 months, and then she had got some real shit, some pure shit. And she's like, oh, dude, I used to bang this shit all fucking day.
Pulp Fiction.
Right. And then she hit with some real stuff, and it put her out.
And Morrison, that's kind of the same.
But see, Morrison's interesting, too, because
Let's jump over to him real quick.
Let's jump over to Jim Morrison. Everybody knows who Jim Morrison is. He is the frontman of the Doors.
We did a whole episode about his life, about the Doors.
Check it out in the archives. Right. It's a good episode.
Right. Okay. Right. So he was a savant. He was a genius. You know what I mean? Came out with, I think, 5 or 6 studio albums with The Doors. So after the legal litigation between him and the city of Miami in Florida, after he apparently pulled his dick out, he had got acquitted of one charge, and he still had the lewd and lascivious conduct and nudity charge on him. He moves over to Paris to clean himself up and to, you know, basically get his feet back under him.
Eat some croissants.
Right. And just, you know, eat some croissants. And so he winds up, his heart's apparently heart failure. That's what they deemed it. Heart failure due to, you know, drugs. And I don't know. They didn't call it an overdose. They said heart failure due to heavy drugs.
Right.
But the weird part about him is nobody saw the body except for his girlfriend, Pam Corson.
And her friend.
Yeah, and her friend.
Right.
Who was the drug dealer that sold them
what
drugs.
What they did is they packed his body in dry ice.
Yeah, and wrapped him in plastic
and then
for
3 days.
What the fuck?
And then she said, let's get the cheapest, like $75 is what they paid for his coffin.
Yeah.
And then they said, let's get the cheapest, you know, funeral
they
we
blew
can
the
do.
Budget on the drive.
We're going to bury him down the street in this old cemetery, but we're only going to take a 30-year lease on his grave.
What do you mean, a lease on the grave?
Yeah, right.
Fucking build
but
a,
30
build,
years?
Build a gas station
like,
on
well,
it 30 years.
What does she care? She was something involved. And she claims the last words of Jim Morrison was, are you there, Pam? Pam, are
Luke,
you there?
I'm your father.
And then she was like, of course I'm here, motherfucker. I'm trying to kill your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it looks good on paper if she like, oh, I paid for his grave. Like,
right.
Well, so the conspiracy theory about his death was that one of the girl mm-hmm. who was dating Keith Richards.
Yeah.
Her drug dealer came over to Jim's house.
Yeah.
And shot him up with heroin. And apparently it was too strong, and then he collapsed and died.
And then they freaked out and tried to just like,
that's
well,
one
make it look.
That's one theory.
That makes sense too.
Yeah.
Because that's what she said. That happened.
Like I said, he's the
she was
like,
dating him at the time.
Right.
He's one of the ones that, like, just like Hendrix, have the most that actually could. I'm like, they all kind of sound like they could have happened.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It's crazy.
But and another thing, it goes back to my original theory that I continuously have, is that if you look at his albums later in his career, they were starting to decline, like The Soft Parade and Morrison Hotel. Morrison Hotel was pretty good,
well,
but it wasn't as good as his first
said,
two.
As some of those recordings, he drank as much as 88 beers in one day.
Dude, he was out right. doing, he turned into Val Kilmer and was out in the fucking desert doing peyote every day. Like, right. I mean, trust me, your fucking
turned
work ethic's going to kind of decline.
Yeah.
He was a drunk.
Right.
Like a bad, bad drunk.
I think they made him into a martyr.
Yeah.
I think they couldn't mold Jim Morrison because he was a free spirit, couldn't mold him, and so they made him
if
into a
martyr. If you
can't
beat him, kill him.
That's right.
You're right.
And so we'll move on to the last two real quick. Everybody knows the story of Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain is arguably probably the most famous.
Family Feud survey says, ding, that's your first answer, man, every
right.
time. For
Kurt
sure.
Cobain. If you think,
also, well, he started the white lighter, the Bic white lighter theory,
yeah.
too. You want
to
tell him about that?
Day,
yeah,
I,
the
I,
Bic white lighter theory. And then everybody had said that there's a big conspiracy theory behind white Bic lighters, that every member of the 27 Club that had died had a white Bic lighter.
On them.
On them.
So that means when your little stickers and casings come off your Bics, throw that shit away.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Even but back when I was in high school, I remember people saying, oh, dude, you don't get a white Bic, man.
Yes.
Those are bad luck.
Fuck but those yes. that the whole theory was discredited because the Bic didn't even make disposable lighters back in the
40s
and
60s.
And my dad died with a red lighter in his pocket.
Well, the
right.
same. Except, and Kurt Cobain had two lighters. Neither one of them was on him, and both of them were not white.
Yeah. One of them, I think, was pink, and one of them was yellow.
Right.
Yeah. If my memory serves, so I know a lot.
That's
about,
fucking insane. Either
yeah,
way,
yeah, weird, right?
What's weird is the fact that both of you knew that shit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I know an obnoxious amount of Kurt
That's
about
awesome.
Kurt Cobain,
That's
dude.
Awesome.
So anyway, similar story. Kurt Cobain obviously becomes the most famous musician in the world.
Changed music.
In the early 90s. Changed the direction of music. Changed the focus. Brought the focus away from thrash metal, glam metal, hair metal, everything. Brought it away. Brought it into a new direction and brought eyes to Seattle. Right? Gets huge. Wants to quit the music business. I mean, go on record saying, all I really want to do is make $3 million, do heroin and paint.
Right.
That's all I really want to do. I want to quit.
That's a good way to go.
My stomach hurts.
Yeah, and his stomach hurts all the time. Oh, come on, man. God, you're such a diva. And so Kurt wants to quit the music business. And interestingly enough, if you look at his suicide note, it's written in two different handwritings.
And they say, I know they say like schizophrenics sometimes, or sociopaths.
Yeah.
Have two, like sometimes they'll write with, they'll be ambidextrous and write.
Right. Yep. But the first half of the letter had nothing, it wasn't about killing himself. The first half of the letter was about leaving the music industry. Mm-hmm. The last half of the letter that was in a different handwriting was saying, essentially, I'm sick of this world. Goodbye. Right. I'm going to end it.
Signed Courtney.
Yes.
Scratched out and then Kurt.
Oops.
Signed Courtney. Yeah, signed Courtney Love Illuminati.
Right.
The end.
Right.
That's right. The Illuminati was supposed to be
correct.
The next death.
And right. And so what happened? What did they do? Kurt is a huge cash cow. Biggest musician in the entire world at the time. Wants to quit the business to create his own bud his
There's
own
so
creative
many
juices.
Theories with this.
And then he ends up dying, and now he's a martyr.
Sure. A friend of mine said something to me about David Grohl. It was like, I've never heard anyone say, it was like, why do you think he's so successful? Because they're like, look, we have to prove that the business isn't just shutting this whole band out.
Yeah. Right.
So the best thing we can do is just pick the most marketable one that's left after we killed Kurt, and let's give him a big push.
Right.
And yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's on paper. That looks,
on paper.
And we got proof that we didn't do it. There's motive right there.
So that's Kurt. Same story.
What's kind of eerie is that his mom was interviewed a little bit after his death. And she said, I told him not to join that club, but he wanted to join that club anyway.
Yeah, I told him not to join that stupid club.
A stupid club.
Yeah, the 27 club.
Now, they say it could be two different things. It could be the 27 club, or what was it? There was another theory about...
I forget the other club that they were talking about.
If it comes to me,
the He-Man Woman Haters Club, Four Stone Have Carpet.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. That was, if you're noticing a trend here, and I'm not trying to guide your opinion or guide the conversation in any sort of way, but each one of these people had the same thing in common.
And they're the top three.
It was the Suicide Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That would be the other club, yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll move on to our final focal point. There's many other musicians in this club, but we're going to move on to the final one. Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse, which was a fucking shit show from start to finish.
Sure. Yeah.
That girl.
To me, Amy, like, I'm just going to say it as quickly and just get what I mean out without explaining it at all. She's the first one, and to this day is the reason I don't believe in the 27 Club.
Why is that?
Because she's the first egregious example of the media just taking control.
I would agree with that.
And spinning it and using it to make a movie. After her, all of a sudden, the Michael Jackson documentary. This is it.
Yeah.
Katy Perry. She's not even fucking dead. So unless that bitch is a ghost on American
Lady
Idol.
Lady Gaga. Pop stars. Get off out of your ass.
It's like, and she was the one that, like, they were like, look. So if they were behind it, I don't think that they would also do what they... And you have all these people. And she is mad talented.
She was insane.
If she wouldn't have been so... Like, if her demons weren't
right.
Just so uncontrollable to her.
Right.
Like, and the other thing is, like, that Rehab song. It's almost the only one anyone knows, right?
Right.
And she died of a... Yeah. It's like...
Which she hated singing that song.
Foreboding.
Live.
Right. And exactly. That's what I'm
foreshadowing,
looking.
Foreboding,
yes.
Satirical.
Like, it's so perfect for, like, a stupid Hollywood movie. Like,
yeah.
And they need those narratives. Like the media is pro wrestling. I mean, they look for the most... Oh, this is the obvious way that's going to be easy to spin, and they do it.
Yeah.
And she was the first one where I'm like, I don't care about this anymore. I'm like, Hunter S. Thompson didn't die at 27, and Amy Winehouse, they made a movie about her.
Right.
And it was out like a week later.
Well, it all started with her relationship. Like, her downward spiral was when she started dating that Blake Fielder cat. Blake Fielder Civil. That's what started with him, because he was a shithead. And Amy, for whatever reason, she always looked up to her dad, so she had daddy issues, which she didn't really come from a bad home. They split up when she was 9. They got divorced, her parents, when she was 9. But, you know, she wasn't from a super bad or abusive home or anything like that. But she always, she had this, like, shtick between men. You know, because, like, a lot of her songs, like that song Back to Black was written about Blake. You know, and Blake introduced her to crack. Blake introduced her to heroin. And he was a grade A shit bird. Right. Dirty burner in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, this is something another reason that the whole Winehouse thing, like, Gaga seems like she almost stole half of her act. Like,
oh,
it's like,
I agree.
And she's just like, look, well, I'm not as good of a singer or an artist, but I'm going to take half of her shit.
Yeah.
And
wear a thong while I'm doing
it. Turn that up to 11 and then make a character out of it. And eventually Bradley Cooper will want to do a movie with me, and I'll just copy a bunch of music. And, like,
right.
Everything will be great. And I'm going to win a bunch of Oscars and lie about fucking him.
The only thing I like about Lady Gaga was her role. on American Horror Story.
Dude, oh, man.
And she killed that, man.
That was fantastic. One of the best,
man.
Musicians to actor transition.
Her vampire role?
Oh, hell yes, man.
Great. She was good as the tree lady in the woods, right? Like Roanoke, but the hotel series, that's the one she killed.
I mean, Shaquille O'Neal and Kazam was pretty. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I personally.
Michael Jordan in that Space Jam. Man, holy shit.
Fucked Bugs Bunny up.
Yeah. I really actually do like Lady Gaga.
They're redoing Space Jam, by the way.
I know.
Oh, perfect.
LeBron's going to be in it.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
And nobody else wants to join him.
Nope.
That's right.
So, okay. What happened with Amy? She was a big drinker.
Yeah, please.
Yep.
That time you waited for you to start it and then say it.
Yeah. Big drinker, big drugger.
They only found alcohol in her system, though, I think. It was just she drank herself to death.
She looked fucked up all the time. I mean, she looked fucked up all the time.
Well, she was, and she missed a bunch of concerts. She was supposed to play in England, and she had a big tour set up, and she didn't even know where she was. Like, there's embarrassing ass footage. It's like you never watch something on TV and you get embarrassed and you have to turn it because it embarrasses you from your couch. She was up there, didn't even know, like, she couldn't even talk.
It's a car crash that's so bad that you're like, I'm interested. Now I feel really bad about being interested.
Right.
And I got to walk away from
right.
it. Like,
so she came out with, I think, two albums, Back to Black and Frank. Back to Black was an amazing album, dropped in 2006. Amazing. So, anyway, to her death.
I was Thunderstruck myself, but.
Oh, perfect. That's Back in Black.
You said the album art was never going to be marketable.
She copied that song title. Oh,
whatever. Anyway, July 23rd, 2011, she is found in her Camden, London, UK home, dead as disco from alcohol poisoning.
Wow.
And she also was a lifelong drinker, though, and it's really, really hard to die of alcohol poisoning if you are a lifelong alcoholic.
Right.
The withdrawals killed 90%.
Well, supposedly she was clean and sober for what?
Yeah, she was clean and sober for a while. Not long.
It was only like a month or so before.
Not long.
So she probably was clean and sober for like a month. Nothing was in her system. And she's like, I'm going to go drink just like I used to. And that's how she died.
Sure. Right. The same thing happened to Joplin, though. She was clean from heroin for like 6 weeks or something like that. And then she went back and took a fucking full loaded blast of the dome. And
Jim Morrison was probably drunk off his skull and just did some smack and killed his ass right there.
Or... they got murdered. I'll leave it to you to decide.
Or Val Kilmer really movie role.
Yeah.
According to this high priestess in the Satanic Church, there is conspiracies there. She's saying that all of these artists had condoned the demonic, so they had to put some kind of subliminal shit in their songs while they were recording, and the demons came into the music studio and... kind of made the
took
pact.
What was due.
You're gonna and they take what was due. Like, you have the paranormal you got the pulse on the paranormal, man. Like,
I'm just saying that's what I read.
And Amy Winehouse being the last one, man, like that's a perfect, like, I think that's legitimately right around the time that, like, dude, with the podcast being named what it is, man, that's right around the time that you could definitely say, yo, rock and roll is definitely asleep, man.
Yeah, it's definitely asleep. It's going into the underground, like back in the late 70s, early 80s. So anyway, we will let you be the judge. I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a backstory about the 27 Club. As always, thank you for stopping by. If you guys have any show ideas and or requests and or if you just want to tell me to go fuck myself, go ahead and email me at willywhitebread69@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook where we go live every single week. We are on Instagram and Twitter. We love you. We will see you next week.
Wake up, rock and roll.
Deuces.